This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to another Kerry Dixon show with, of course, the legend that is Kerry Dixon. And, of course, the show's in association with Chelsea Fan 12, home of the 12th man, the fan. And, of course, check out their website for some fantastic memorabilia signed by current and former players, including Kerry. And they also have lots of news. And, of course, they do a video which they record after every home game with the wonderful Chopper Harris and Gary Chivers in the Butcher's Hook pub. So you can either watch that online or check it out yourself if you're there at the game. And, of course, you can follow them on Twitter, which is at Fan12Chelsea. Good afternoon, Kerry. How are you today?
Well, I'm quite good, then, David. I think after last night's, I don't know how to put it. I thought it was going to be a comfortable bore. And then all of a sudden, right in the last minute, I thought, oh, my God, another half an hour and penalties possibly. And then 14 seconds later, all of them thoughts were banished and we were in the semi-final. So how am I? Yep, I'm pleased.
relieved as well, I would have thought.
Relieved. Would have preferred, you know, if I'm going to be totally honest, Bristol City and just to prove that Chelsea could do what Manchester United couldn't do and put them to the sword over two legs. But it's going to have to be the Gooners, and it's going to be a very interesting January.
It is indeed. It is indeed. I mean, you know, that's for me, that's classic Chelsea. I mean, they've always put you through it. So in a sense, I wasn't surprised in the least. But I think it was an interesting match, wasn't it? I mean, two great goals, but not a great performance, really. But ultimately, it's a quarter-final. It's all about the win, isn't it?
Yes, I've got to say, the performances haven't been great. But listen, we seem to be moaning about everything going. We want perfection. I suppose we're used to perfection after winning a title last year and everything else. We sound like, you know, pundits always look for something negative when the team are doing okay. And let's be honest, they're doing okay. First half-term report, if you like, Christmas time is not bad, you know. We're in all competitions with a view to possibly winning all of them. Doubtful Premier League at this stage, but we're in with a shout, and we're in with a better shout than most. Semi-finals against Arsenal, home and away, and then possibly, well, I would say Manchester City in the final, if that be the case, in the League Cup, Norwich away, and of course, Barcelona. So it's going to be very interesting, and I've got to say, team are doing okay. Room for improvement, last two results and performances, not quite up to scratch, but we come through.
Well, if we ignore the negative for a minute and you know, do what most pundits wouldn't do, and that's just focus on the positive, then really it has to be Ethan Ampadu's performance last night. I mean, you've been around the game a long time. I mean, have you seen many more impressive proper debut performances by somebody so young? I mean, he looked way beyond 17 years old, didn't he?
Yeah, she did. And, it's a credit to him that he's got himself in there and indeed in a starting lineup, given the opportunity. And, I'm not going to say he's took it, but he's certainly given the manager food for thought. And whether the manager's prepared to throw him in, you know, bigger games, but I'm sure he will get games based on what I've seen last night. It's against arguably a Premier League side, trying to get through in a cup competition. And he acquitted himself very well indeed.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because he can play centre-back and centre-midfield, you know, as a defensive midfielder, a bit like somebody else with a very similar haircut, a certain David Luiz. And I know there's lots of rumour mongering in the media at the moment about Luiz possibly being off in the January transfer window. I mean, personally, I hope he doesn't. I'm quite a fan of Luiz. I think he's a great character, and I'm all for players like him staying at the club. But, it just shows you that Ampadu could be, you know, the next one off the block. I'm also wondering, I mean, you know, one of the things we have seen this season is Andreas Christensen absolutely break through to the extent where I think he's, you know, he's in pole position now in that spot in the defence. So do you think that Ampadu's got a chance of breaking through in the same way that Christensen does, or has he got a little bit more time to go yet, perhaps?
Well, I'm not sure the manager. I mean, he'd have to be in a pretty strong position, and I'm not saying he's not, and I'm not certainly not indicating that he's, looking to be removed or going to leave or anything like that. But to have a situation with Ampadu, Christensen and another as your first choice back three, if that's going to be the case, he'd be a very brave man indeed, I think. I think you could have the experience. You have the experience of a Rudiger, a Kayo, a Azpilicueta, given the choice of games, you put Christensen in pole, you believe. I don't know. I don't know about that. I wouldn't dispute it, but I don't necessarily think pole. I mean, Azpilicueta will probably play every game. Kale, I don't know, majority of the games. Rudiger, Christensen, I don't know. When you think that's the people, if you're looking to overlook David Luiz, and we could deal with that one in a while if you want, but they're the ones in front of Ampadu, and it's five pretty solid players and who've proven in the position before Ampadu manages. Well, he's got to get in front of three of them. If you take Luiz out, he's got to get in front of two on a regular basis. And
if you look at it like, you know, if the centre spot is between Luiz and Christensen, which I think actually it probably is, then he's third. He's third in the. He's third in line for that, I think, which would make more sense.
Arguably. Yeah. All right. I'm going to buy that. But then, you know, if he gets past Luiz, Christensen is the main one, and having just broken through and giving decent performances, and not doing anything wrong, look, he's got a lot to do. But it was very pleasing last night, and once again, another promising youngster. You know, you look at the bench and there was two or three more waiting to get the opportunity. And, you know, this competition has been pretty good for youngsters, you know, given the opportunity. And, you know, we've seen it before, though. We've seen it, you know, Josh McEachran onwards pretty much. And we've seen, you know, Loftus-Cheek come and go. Nathaniel Chalabar, you know, we've seen him come and go. And, you know, be used in this competition, some promising Charlie Masonda even this season. And, you know, and they come and go, and whether they get the opportunity to play on a regular basis remains to be seen. And, you know, it's in the hands of the manager. But we're still chasing trophies, and the young lad didn't do himself any harm at all last night.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And, let's hope he can carry on when he gets an opportunity, proving to the manager what a good player he is. I'm sure we'd all love to see that. Just a kind of a slight aside of the evening, it was kind of, in a sense, a tale of two shirts. Michy Batshuayi, having got an infrequent opportunity to start, managed to tuck his shirt in finally, which caught the attention of many people that I was... Obviously, I couldn't make it last night, so I was kind of following it on the radio and Twitter, and there was a lot of angst about the fact that Michy doesn't tuck his shirt in. And, of course, he went and did that, which is lovely to see. And then, of course, Alvaro Morata tucks the ball under his shirt and then gets booked for kicking the ball at or away from, I can't remember, I think it was Cook, wasn't it, from Bournemouth, who he had a bit of a tussle with, which, of course, means he misses Everton away on Saturday. I mean, it's a bit of a funny thing. I think a lot of people were like moaning like stink about Lee Mason for booking him for just a quirky celebration. But I think the reality was he got booked for kicking the ball away, which is fair enough. But it's a bit of a stupid booking either way, isn't it, Kerry?
Yes, it is. I mean, I'm not going to jump on his back for that. I'm just so pleased he got the goal. If you're on four bookings, what is it? You can refresh my knowledge if you
five,
like.
Five bookings and you get a ban.
I knew that. But how far did he have to go before the ban wasn't going to come? Because what I was going to say is we've got a load of games coming up.
Yeah.
If it's another month, he's inevitably going to pick up the ban anyway. Everton away is not good. There's no good game to be banned. But at the moment, we've got a clean bill of health in that area. You know, Batshuayi could play. We could play the three whippets, if you like. You know, Pedro, Hazard, Willian, or any other combination that is chosen by the manager. So if he's going to miss Everton away, then so be it. He'll be available for the rest of the Christmas programme. So, you know, it's swings and roundabouts as far as that's concerned. But, yeah, silly booking. I just wonder, you know, I don't know. These things you can't even... put these things and say, you know, people pick up bookings. I've seen people saying, did he know and did he want the booking? And I don't know. He's got it anyway. He's out of the fucking game, and the manager will pick a team to try and win the game.
Well, at least he'll have a nice Christmas, Kerry, because he won't have to play on Saturday. I'm not I'm being cynical at all in any way, shape or form. Listen, let's just wrap the conversation up about last night's game, because, I mean, actually, they were two excellent goals, weren't they? And, I mean, I'll talk a little bit more about, I think, some of the creative play that we've had recently when we look at the Southampton match from last Saturday. But, as you so rightly said, we're into another semi-final, and it's against Arsenal, so that'll be great. In fact, we're going to have Arsenal three times in the space of a couple of weeks, as it nearly always happens in cup matches. I think it's very quirky that often happens, that you end up playing in the cup a team that you're playing in the league at the same time. Now, here's a good stat for you. It's our 32nd semi-final appearance since 1994. How about that?
Very good.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah, very good indeed, yeah. Long may it continue. And this is what the club's all about, pretty much. But, you know, in the modern era of football, and, you know, that's what's expected. Let's hope we can turn it into X amount of finals. I dare say you're going to come up with a stat on that one, or have you not got that one? But
I could work it out.
After 34 semis, you've got to think, well, I don't know how many were converted into finals. But
into trophies?
Someone will tell us.
No, I can tell you now. I've got it in front of me. I mean, in fact, I'm going to run through the whole lot because I think it's just such a wonder. You know, you forget. You kind of get a bit blasé about it, but 32... semi-final since 1994, and of course that was against you were playing for Luton that day, of course, in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So we went on to the final there and lost it, of course. 95, the semi-final against Real Zaragoza, which we lost. Then Man United semi-final in 96, which we lost. And then of course we won against Wimbledon in 97. We won against Arsenal in 98. We won against Vicenza, of course, in the European Cup Winners' Cup. Although, and then there was 1999, we lost against Real Mallorca, then we beat Newcastle, beat Fulham, beat Tottenham. No, we lost to Tottenham. I was there at that one. That was horrible. Lost to Monaco, lost to Man United, lost to Liverpool, lost to Liverpool again, beat Wycombe Wanderers, beat Blackburn, lost to Liverpool. This is Champions League semi-final. And then, this bloody print's so small. Then we beat Everton, we beat Liverpool, we beat Arsenal, beat Barcelona. No, then that was the 2009 when Barcelona got the last minute goal. Then we beat Villa. Then we absolutely hammered Tottenham 5-1 in 2012 in the FA Cup semi-final. And of course, we famously beat Barcelona in the Champions League semi-final. Then the World Club competition, Monterrey, we beat them. Then we lost to Swansea in the League Cup semi-final 2013 and lost to City in the FA Cup. Beat Basel in the Europa League. And then in 2014, we lost the Champions League semi-final. And then we beat Liverpool in the League Cup semi-final in 2015. beat Tottenham in the FA Cup semi-final in 2017, and that was the last semi-final we were in. But I mean, I think, you know, we just a quick scan down there, we've won about half, we've gone on more than half of them, I think we've won, and I think we probably about a third of them we've won the trophy. So I think, you know, for somebody like you know, of my generation, when we had a gap between 72, I think, and 1994, that's just, you know, I could never have imagined that we would have, you know, and I mean, you know, when you get to a semi-final, okay, of course you want to win, but that's where a club like Chelsea should be. And I think it's fantastic to see it. And it's no surprise to me, you know, how good the atmosphere was last night at the Bridge. And you compare that to Arsenal, which was, you know, looked pretty empty to me, the Emirates. But, you know, Chelsea supporters love cup competitions, and I think with that track record in the last, you know, 30 odd years, you can see why, can't you?
Well, a fair blast of nostalgia for all the people listening in, that's for sure. And you know, some great names, some great games, and you know, obviously some great conversion rates as far as finals and trophies are concerned. Yeah, and I fully understand, obviously I played during the time that you were talking about. Yeah. And there weren't too many semi-finals. And, you know, it's wonderful for the modern Chelsea supporter to actually be involved and support a club that, you know, are giving this opportunity to their fans and, you know, on a fairly regular basis, let's be honest. I mean, pretty much most seasons we're getting to the semi, yeah, or semi-final of one competition or in, yeah, and around it, you know. And, you know, this is exactly what Roman envisaged when he bought the club. And you know, he wanted to turn it into a power that would challenge for every trophy that they're in. And providing it's been managed correctly, and, you know, various people have managed the club to various degrees of success. So, yeah, I mean, it is where we are. And long may it continue. And the supporters and everyone else connected with the football club are there to enjoy it at the moment, because it's all been made possible, you know, I have to be honest, you know, by Roman's money. And, you know, and the managers that have been put in place and not put in place, you know. But we are one of the powers. I heard someone moan about the amount Manchester City have spent, the amount Paris Saint-Germain have spent. Can't be any moan from anyone. You know, we've spent a lot of money in the past, and Blackburn won it, you know, in my time, or just after my time, when Jack Walker spent a load of money on players. So, listen, money will buy success to a degree, or it will give you the opportunity to taste success, providing the manager and the playing staff are picked correctly. So, you know, but we're in the mix. You can't win everything, but we're in it. And providing Roman stays healthy and keen, and I'm sure he does and will, you know, long may it continue for the club and its supporters.
Absolutely right. And I mean, I should point out, actually, that just under a third of those semi-final appearances were before Roman bought the club. So, you know, we were on the road before he turned up, as we all know. But I tell you what, Kerry, what it absolutely says, and I think, you know, you of all people would embody and get this, is you cannot take this for granted. You know, you really can't. And I tell you what, it was really pleasing to see Antonio Conte's press conference today, because he looked really happy. You know, he recognised that it's important that we're in a semi-final. If we're in a semi-final, we've got a chance to go and win a trophy, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
You know, the other thing as well, yeah, it is what it's about. You know, you're in it to win it. And the other thing is, this competition has become a little bit of a cat and mouse affair with regard squads, and with regard managers' ability to pick teams to win games, playing squad players and playing and giving rest to other players. And if you get it wrong, and no disrespect, it is a bit of a dig at Jose, you know, Bristol City, he's got it wrong. He's picked a team thinking that his big guns can come on, and this is what they tend to do, and we've done it as well. And, you know, Leicester left off Mahrez and Vardy against City played, made nine changes. You know, it's going to be interesting. Will Arsene Wenger play a lesser side against us, and what side will we play against Arsenal? I'm pretty certain the City 11 that played against Leicester, that, or squad that went out, they'll get another run out against Bristol City, that's for sure. But the Arsenal-Chelsea game, well, that's going to be very interesting indeed. It's now a semi-final, and you're one step away from Wembley and a trophy. So, you know, does it continue to be squad players, or, you know, a manager trying to win a game? So Conte's happy in his press conference. What teams he pick against Arsenal home and away?
No, we shall see, won't we?
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away.
But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
More closer to home in a sense, back to the Premier League. I mean, we played Southampton last Saturday and we won 1-0, of course. I mean, you know, in truth, Kerry, we battered them. I thought we were very, very good. But it did occur to me, because we were moaning last week a lot, actually, as I recall. But that was off the back of the West Ham game, where I do think we were wasteful. Against Southampton last Saturday, I don't think we were, actually. I think we were unlucky. I think we caught Fraser Forster on a superb day, and I think he played brilliantly. But on another day, that would have been 4-5-6, wouldn't it?
We would have been aside. It's just a little bit of a doubt in your mind that goes through when you don't convert the chances, whether it's the brilliance of the opposition keeper or bad luck or the referee or whatever. But, you know, 1-0, you know, it doesn't go down as brilliant, does it? It goes down as okay, you know, because it you know, you win the game, you get the 3 points and you move on. But, you know, when Leicester put 4 past them, they had to improve a little bit better. And they had to get better than that, because they can't, you know, they're not going to get smashed by 4 every week. So they're going to get an improved performance. And they did it defensively. They got lots of men behind the ball. And, you know, we're always going to have to break teams down. City have it. You know, United have it. Arsenal and Chelsea, Tottenham, all the big sides are going to have what I would call teams who are, you know, not expected to be challenging for the title to, if you want, to coin a phrase, park the bus, get men behind the ball and defend for their lives. And hopefully, you know, get something on the breakaway and perhaps snatch points. We're going to have to put up with that. And I think Southampton did it to a degree. They were organised. We were the better team. We were in control. But there's always that opportunity when it's 1-0 that, you know, we could drop more home points, and that's when it will become disappointing. So we have to take these opportunities that present itself and take these chances. You know, this is where perhaps we're a little bit short at the moment, you know. I always say we're better than most teams. We're at least one goal better than most. I'd like to see a few 3s and 4s. We have had it, you know, it has happened. You know, it's happened this season. But I'd like to see it on a more regular basis when we're that much in control, put these teams to bed and make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't disagree with any of that. And I mean, I think you're right. I mean, ultimately, that's the trouble when you're only 1-0 ahead. In this game, you know, anything can happen. You get a bad decision, you get a penalty against you, somebody makes a mistake and wallop, you know, you lose the points. I think the thing that, you know, made me look at it more like we were a bit unlucky and not quite as wasteful as we had been against West Ham is the fact that, you know, I mentioned this on the Fancast on Monday, actually, because it's been driving me up the wall recently, is this kind of interplay around the, you know, the outs just outside the penalty area where they're playing the ball across and looking for the perfect pass and almost the perfect goal. I mean, I know I'm old school, Kerry, but I have to say it really winds me up, mate. But what I saw on Saturday against Southampton, there was a willingness to shoot. And I mean, a lot of a lot of those shots were saved by Forster, and that's what I mean when I say I think maybe we were a bit unlucky. But I was actually pleased to see us have a crack, you know, have a shot. You know, if you don't try and play through them all the time. If you see a gap, have a wallop, you know. Who knows? You might get you might go in, or it might come off the keeper and the striker scores, who knows? But I was pleased to see that. I'm interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, well, there's no perfect way to score a goal. A goal can come from any way, anywhere, anyhow. Whether it's a shot, whether it's a deflection, whether it's a wonderful six passes, intricate move, whether it's a cross and a header, it could happen. But the thing is, when you talked about the interplay across the box in the final third and stuff like that, what it effectively does, if teams who haven't got, say, they only got 3-4 at the back, 5 at the back, if they want to defend it, the interplay, and they're looking for another position, teams invariably will get more and more men behind the ball, and the more you try and move the ball to look for a better position, you've actually got another defender in behind the ball. So, I'm all for quick passing, slick passing, and breakaways. You know, we scored a lot of goals against teams on breakaways with the pace of our attack. And that is one of the ways that we can do that when teams commit forward trying to get something. But, yeah, I agree with you into play, but they've got to do something. They haven't really got a lot of options. You know, if it gets away, it comes back. If it's not there, keep possession, move the ball. This is what we're told as players, that's what they'll be told. Don't waste it. If there's no one in the box, don't just sling it in and hope. You know, keep the ball, work another position. There's no right or wrong in this. The only right or wrong is if you score a goal. If you score a goal, that's perfect. If you don't score a goal, it's all fanning around and we're going nowhere. So it's all about whether you put the ball in the back of the net. And, as I said before, I played in a time when Eddie Nijewski would boom a perfect kick out of his hands. David Speedy would flick it on. I'd run in and two passes later, it was in the back of the net. So,
lovely. Perfect for me, mate. I love that.
Perfect for me as well. But, I've seen 8, 9, 10, 20 passes, it was wonderful. So there isn't a right or wrong way in this.
No, I agree. You know, ultimately, it's all about sticking the ball in the onion bag, isn't it? Kind of picking up from that and then looking a little bit towards Everton on Saturday. I mean, we had the three up front with Willian, Hazard and Pedro. And I think, in a sense, to some extent, it proved Conte's point that actually when you have got a tough team to try and break down, their movement and pace and I think just their intelligent play actually can work very, very well. So I think, in a sense, it proves that there is an alternative to playing Morata up front, particularly if the manager doesn't really fancy Batshuayi, which I'm beginning to think he doesn't. And of course, on Saturday, he is faced with that choice, isn't he? Because as we said earlier, Morata's going to be suspended. So do you think he's going to play those three, or do you think he'll plump for Batshuayi?
Well, you asked me the question before, because when I went to Huddersfield and they played really well, and he changed the formation. And they did very well. And you asked me, do I think he'd keep it for the Southampton game? And I wasn't sure. I had to be honest. It's whatever was in his mind. And sure enough, he left Morata on the bench. And, he played, if you want, the quick three or whatever you want to call them, the three midgets or, the three-man forward line. I really don't know what you call them, but they're all similar types to me. Hadn't been the best, of course. And they all interplay and so on. Does it work? Does it work? Once you get used to it, and as you've already said about the type of play they get to the edge of the box and the thrust is there. I don't know. It's horses for courses. There's not an answer on this one either. It's one of them. Whatever works. Batshuayi might work in some of these cases. A Morata might work. I'm not sure that the three Litlands could win us the league doing it the same way week in, week out. I really don't. I think because teams will get used to it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think there's room for what I call a central striker and somewhere along the line. And I think Batshuayi could possibly get the nod with a view to changing the system if it hasn't worked. At Everton, you could have a situation where you need some sort of outfall. You're going to need someone to try and hit and hold the ball up. Now, whether he does it good or whether he doesn't do it, it's good. At least he is a target that you can hit and you've got a chance in the air and, at least he can bow. The small ones are going to have to be paid hit to feet, work the ball out or in behind and use the pace of these lads. I don't know. It's out to Conte, however he sees it. And it worked brilliantly at Huddersfield. It could work against the Everton side again, I agree. I thought they were the poorest side in the division at one stage early on this year. Every time I watched them, I thought they were dreadful. But they have picked up, I've got to be honest. They look a little bit more resilient. I still think they're not great, but I'm still expecting 3 points. But it is a difficult game. Historically, it's a difficult game away at Goodison. But I think this Chelsea side is good enough to go and win there based on whatever they're all about at the moment. But I've said that at Palace. I've said that at Palace. I've said that at West Ham. And I've said that at various other places. So I don't really know.
I know. It isn't easy, is it? I mean, you know, but I think to be fair, I mean, we are on a good run at the moment and we shouldn't forget that. I mean, okay, some of the performances haven't been absolutely brilliant, but we're still picking up the points. I think a lot of the Everton thing, you're right. I mean, their form really has picked up recently. I mean, they've won since Big Sam took over, they've won 5 and drawn 1. And I mean, I know that some of the wins were against sides who are not particularly, you know, who are near the bottom of the table. But the draw was against Liverpool, and that shouldn't be underestimated. You know, Rooney's got 3 goals in his last 3 games. Calvert-Lewin looks a good player. Sigurdsson's a threat. But I think the interesting thing, really, Kerry, is that it's Big Sam, you know, and everything that he brings to the table. And I had a look into this because there's a bit of a myth, I think, created about Big Sam generally, but also against us because, you know, people will remember he got one over us. He's got one over us quite recently, both as the manager for Sunderland and Crystal Palace. But interestingly, he's played. He's managed against Chelsea 26 times in the Premier League, and yet he's only won 4 and drawn 6 and lost 16. So it's not quite as good as people might have you believe. And as I said, 2 of those wins were recent. I mean, that was in April 2017. That was the 2-1 win with Palace at Stamford Bridge. And in May 2016, Sunderland beat us 3-2. In a sense, you could argue that both of those games were in fact dead rubbers because, I mean, the title's pretty much done and dusted. In 2016, we were kind of, you know, recovering from losing Mourinho, et cetera, et cetera. The other two, December 2012, West Ham beat us 3-1, and that was, I think, Rafa Benitez's 3rd game. So that was all over the place then. And then in 2003, his Bolton side beat us 2-1 at home. And I think that was a last-minute goal, if my memory serves me correctly. But, of course, that would have been with Ranieri, so before Mourinho took over. So I think what I'm kind of saying in a very long-winded way is that I think it's a bit of a myth, actually, that Sam will usually get one over us because, actually, the stats don't bear that out. So maybe we should remember that when we go up there on Saturday, treat it like any other game. Trust the fact that we're better than them and go and get the 3 points, right?
Well, I listened to what you've just gone on about with great intrigue, and I couldn't help thinking as you were talking. I always believed that players win games, and only since modern football become more apparent that the manager, and since the special one come in, I've won games, I'm a champion, and all these quotes come out, that managers are actually more important than players. Well, I don't hold with that. It doesn't matter who's in charge of who. You know, people get a little bit more organised. People were saying Roy Hodgson's a bad manager. He's doing all right with Palace. They've all of a sudden moved up. You know, you get good ones, you get bad ones. At the end of the day, players win matches as far as I'm concerned. And they always will do. What 11 you put out, or you get, you've got to give them confidence. You've got to give them belief. You've got to give them a bit of organisation in terms of defensive set plays and what to do when the ball breaks down and so on. And instill some confidence and let the flair players play. And then they'll go and win the game for you. All of this about Big Sam winning 10 and this one winning 4 and Jose Mourinho winning 6 and Arsene Wenger winning 2. I've never played Arsene Wenger. I've never played Jose Mourinho. It's Chelsea versus Everton. And there's 11 players going to go out there, plus 3 off the bench. And as far as I'm concerned, it don't matter what Big Sam does. He can change 3 during the game. He can try and influence certain things. But he's not playing. And, you know, if I was a centre forward, I'd be more concerned about how my centre half is playing than whatever their opposing manager is doing. So, you know, I don't give credence to all this manager stuff. It's a self-pat on the back things that managers do to get themselves important. And various hacks have jumped on the bandwagon when they tend to write more about what people say in the aftermath of each particular game and what they do on the touchline rather than report on what's actually happening in the game. So, you know, I'm not giving all the credence. Whether the manager does a dance, whether he don't kick, sits down, whether he smiles or whether he kicks a bucket or whatever he does, it's about who does what on the football field, what players and what supporters go to watch.
Love it, mate. I love it. I could not have said that better myself. That was music to my ears. I'm just actually thinking about it. Did you ever play against Big Sam?
Not physically, no.
No. You might have just missed out, yeah?
Yeah. MacArthur told me he played against him, and the pair of them were smacking heck out of each other. You know, they were elbowing and headbutting and doing all sorts of. But that was just before I sort of come to Chelsea.
I was going to say it must have been around that time. I mean, I remember famously, I think, towards the end of a season, I think Sam scored an own goal against us, which pretty much guaranteed, I think it kept us in the second division or something like that. It's a while ago. My memory's not what it was. But I was wondering if you'd have just about crossed over, but apparently not. But you're right. At the end of the day, Kerry, he's not kicking the ball on Saturday, is he? But I do suspect that having been said, let's be under no illusion here. This is not going to be an easy match, and he'll be well up for it, as will Everton. And we will need to be at it from the word go. And of course, guess what? It's another flaming early kickoff. I'm just hoping that Chelsea will be absolutely on it from word go. Because, you know, if they don't, they'll be in for a tough match, won't they?
Certainly will. Just going back on that manager's one, and I'll come back to the tough game, whatever it is going to be, because historically it says that it's a Goodison, and the supporters, the 40-odd thousand that go there, are going to demand that their players do the best they possibly can. They can only do whatever they do within the realms of their capabilities, of course. The manager can shout and ball and do whatever he wants, as I've said. But if Big Sam is the great manager and got it all right, well, in that case, it should be a draw, because Conte's done all right since Huddersfield and so on, and we've picked up a similar sort of level of performance. So, if everyone who believes the hype about managers are all great and they can do whatever they want and they're champions and they win, it should be a draw, because the current form, I'd say Everton and Chelsea are pretty similar. Having said that, we've got the likes of Hazard, they got Rooney, and we've got one or two others that I believe can win the match in a vein a little bit more than they have. I agree with Sigurdsson. I don't see many others. Aaron Lennon can run around if he's picked. He's a bit pacey at times, but I think we've got more winners on potential match winners on our side, in the likes of Willian and the passing of Fabregas. Incidentally, I don't know what the team's going to be and what he's going to pick, but I think in our squad there's more winners, and hence the position in the league. So I see a Chelsea squad going north with a view to getting 3 points. I really do. It's only the players that let themselves down. That's another thing, just going back on the managers, because you hit on one of my pet hates with regard to them. The managers never lose games, do they? It's always the players' fault. The managers just get on with it. They take the brave, I'm the champion, I've made the changes. But when they lose games, they don't. Ultimately, they carry the can, of course. But that comes from the directors, and they face the sackers. Sadly, Paul Clement went from Swansea. They do carry the can. But you never hear a manager say, "No, they were better than us today, and we were second best, and we'll have to improve." I think that'd be music to my ears. You talk about music to your ears when a manager stops elevating themselves up the ladder every time there's a press conference, and I'm a champion, how good they are, to actually come down and say that a team was better than them on the day, and they had better players, played better, and we were second best, and we got to improve next game.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I also agree with you. I really think exactly as you said. We should be Everton, even if it is away. But we do have to turn up, and that's the prerequisite. But I think we're a goal better than them. I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you as well. The fact that the sensible head on me says that it could easily be a draw, but I'm going to go for 2-1. But I wouldn't be surprised if it is a draw. But I go with hope, as always, Kerry, that we'll come back with the 3 points.
I'm with you on that. 2-1. I believe that it is similar. Performances are good on both of late. Results are good on both of late. And I think Chelsea have got a little bit more in terms of a match winner than they have. So I'm going 2-1 with you.
Well, hopefully it will be a Christmas cracker, no pun intended. I'm looking forward to it. Sadly, won't be there, but good luck to the hardy, brave souls from Chelsea who will be, because it's a bit of a grim trip up there and getting back just before Christmas. But I know that the trip up to Goodison Park is well loved by most who go. So good luck to them. And, of course, a very happy Christmas or Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of our listeners from me. And I'm sure you would echo that.
Yes, of course I would. And just on the back of that, Goodison Park playing surface used to be one of the best surfaces in the league. I used to love playing there. It was always perfect. It was great. They're a very well-received crowd, I have to say, as well. You know, Chelsea fans used to go there as they went everywhere in abundance. And, you know, it should be a decent atmosphere. On the back of what you've just said, of course, I wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and hopefully a very Happy New Year. And plenty of points and one or two pints over the period. And goodwill to everyone. So wish you all the best and hopefully be speaking to you. I don't know quite when we're going to do the next show. I'm sure it's sometime next week.
Well, the quirk of the Christmas fixture list, actually, I'm glad you've reminded me of that because I'd have forgotten, but the quirk of the Christmas fixture list means that the Chelsea Fancast, the show that we normally do on the Monday night, we're moving it to Thursday. So we're going to be doing our next Chelsea Fancast on the 28th of December and then the week following that because of the way that the Christmas fixtures work. So that means that you and I are going to get a break. We won't be doing Thursday show for the next 2 weeks, but you and I will be back in the new year. I think, just as my head tells me, something like the 11th of January. Seems like a long time away, but it's only a couple of weeks, really. But we'll be back for that. But until then, mate, I just want to wish you a very happy Christmas and a happy new year. And thank you for everything that you've done for the show so far this season. And, of course, last season as well. But have a great break, mate. Have a great Christmas and enjoy it.
Well, ditto with that, because you've done equally as much as me as far as the show is concerned. And you add to 50% of the chat and the questions, and it's been great talking to you, as always, Dave.
Lovely stuff.
We'll have plenty to talk about on the 11th, that's for sure.
Well, you will. I mean, it'll be on the back of the Norwich Cup match, of course, the FA Cup match on the 6th. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a cracking game as well. But lots of games to get through, so we can have a good old catch-up then. But as I said, mate, have a great Christmas, and we'll be speaking again in the new year.
Cheers, Dave.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.